Continuing with our look at tarbiyat al-awlad, the upbringing of children, I promised yesterday that we would look at the concept of discipline. Now, that really is associated with the ability to be able to empower our children to take control of their lives. There is a major difference between punishment and discipline, which I mentioned yesterday. Punishment is what we do to control our children, and discipline is how we teach our children to control themselves. Now, to be able to install discipline into a household, it's important to develop an environment within that house which is consequential. Now, that means that a child knows, just as we all do when we are adults, that every single behavior has a particular consequence attached to it. And the Quran in itself teaches us that everywhere we're told to reflect on history, we're told to reflect of people on the past, we're told to look at situations because there is a consequence and we're responsible for our actions and the consequence that follow it. A child must know that the choices he or she makes have consequences attached to it. Now, the way to be able to develop a household where there is a consequential environment is to have two things. One, there must be clear and, if I can say, reasonable limits in that household. That means there must be some laws, some limits, some parameters that you draw that the children know. In this family, in this house, these are the parameters that are drawn. All children will test parameters. All children will test limits. But the testing of the limits is to make sure that they are secure and they are there. Once children know these parameters do not move, then they get back to being children and they do, or they are able to observe them. For example, in our family as parents, we do not accept any sort of bad language, even slang. If the children were to say yay instead of yes, my husband always corrects them and says yes. So now they all know. Even if the youngest were to say yes, suddenly somebody will say yes. And this is a parameter that they're all comfortable with now. The second thing that is needed is that you must, as parents, be able to define the consequences of breaking those parameters. That means there must be a system, or there must be the knowledge in a child of knowing what happens if the rules or the limits are exceeded. There are two types of consequences of breaking limits. One is very, very obvious. These are natural consequences. For example, if a child were to forget to take his or her lunch, it's natural that they will remain hungry. If a child in winter were to forget their coats and their hats and their gloves, they know they're going to become cold. And these are natural consequences. No parent needs to spell them out. It's very, very obvious, and a child will understand this very, very quickly. But the second set of consequences are what a family will lay down, and they're logical consequences according to the family. For example, if you are to make a mess or you're to leave your books lying around, then the logical consequence is that you have to tidy it up. You have to put it away. And sometimes, as families, as parents, we make the mistake of not defining the consequences. We must be also very careful that the consequences must be related to the behavior. They must be consequences that are respectful and they are reasonable to both the adult and the child. I just remember a few days ago when my four-year-old, she was painting and forgot to lay down newspapers before she started painting, and thus the result was that the rug was a little bit, to say the least, dirty, or shall I say painted. Now, the first instinct is to shout. The first instinct is to get angry. But if you pause for a moment and think what you have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is, if you're standing, sit down. Count till 10 before you speak. And if you're really, really angry, go and do wudu. When you come back and you think that the best thing to do is to be able to define the consequences to her. Because you did not lay down newspaper before you started painting, this is what happened. Now what we need to do is that you have to learn how to clean it, because you have to clean it. And it's no easy job to be able to clean, but it has to be taken through. So the child realizes the logical consequences of doing something that is not right. Now had I shouted, or had I maybe even thought about smacking her, it's something that Islam completely abhors. Smacking or hurting children is out of question. First of all, it is not related to what the child has done. Secondly, it's really the frustration of the parent coming out as anger. Remember, in Islam, by the way, you also have diya. If you hurt a child, if it goes red, there is a certain amount you have to pay the child. If it goes a further color, you know, green, black, you have to pay the child compensation. You cannot touch a child like that. It is wrong. Going back to the anger, had I got angry on her, she did not know, or the consequences were not defined to her. And suddenly, she's worried, she's upset because she's made a mess. She's a little stressed out, and the person who loves her most then is screaming and shouting at her rather than so showing her a solution to come out of this situation. Incidentally, going back to the smacking as such, there's a very, very limited role of smacking. Maybe, just maybe, say if a child who is an infant, a toddler, is running across the streets, not listening to you, and you're pulling him back, maybe a gentle tap on the nappy to be able to get the child's attention. But there is no other place that one can see where you can actually hit the child. It's not effective because it's not respectful, it's not reasonable, and it's not related to the consequence of the action. Well, we've looked at now the disciplinary method that a parent needs to be to set up in the household. What the children need to understand is, first, we need to make sure that the children understand the limits. There must be a shared understanding. You must be sure that the child knows that this is not acceptable, and if this happens, these are the consequences to your actions. Parents must also ensure that the children know that every behavior has a consequence. It's easier said than done, because very often we do not carry it through. We do not allow our children to experience the consequence of their choices. And finally, there must be a consistency. You cannot change the goalposts every 2 minutes. You cannot say one day it's allowed if you do not pray, and one day, you know, I will get very worked up if you don't pray. You must have consistency in your behavior, in how you react. As a child and I grew up, dinner was always served after Salah. Lunch was always served after Salah. And if we did not pray and we came down to the table, we were asked, "Have you prayed?" And if we said that we hadn't, we were told to go up and pray. And the result was everybody was waiting for us. It only needed once, and we never did it again. A word of warning though, you've got to make sure that the limits or the rules that you lay down do not encourage a child to lie. And therefore, that is why they must be reasonable, and they must be acceptable, and they must be understood. Inshallah, we will continue with tarbiyat awlad, or the upbringing of children. But maybe a practical trip. If you find that children are a little bit rebellious, they do not want to listen, then recite Ya Shahidu, thinking of the child, or in front of the child, or even hugging your child. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist in us being able to understand our children.